The portion of God's Word we examine together this afternoon is from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." The Gospel of our Lord. I can't even begin to imagine what it must be like to stand in the presence of an angel, to see him, to experience him, to hear him, to smell of his holiness, to realize this being standing in front of me, addressing me, was most recently, immediately standing in the throne room of heaven in the presence of the eternal God. And now he stands here, speaking to me. Zechariah should have almost expected something so supernatural and out of the ordinary to occur as he was taking his very long-awaited rotation as an elderly priest from the house of Levi in the temple of the Lord. He was standing in the very place that God's presence had filled like smoke on the day that Solomon had spoken his dedication prayer. This was the one place on the whole face of the earth that God had allowed his name to be proclaimed, where he would be present amongst his people for generation after generation. And as Zechariah took his turn offering the prayers for the people, lifting that incense with those prayers, wafting ever heavenward, suddenly there's an angel. And what the angel has to say is downright overwhelming. Zechariah knew who he was. He had lived a lot of life. He was a humble, ordinary, faithful priest of the people of Israel. And now this angel was speaking not only of he and his over-the-hill wife having a child in their old age, but that child would be a special child. That child would be the voice calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord." This would be the one of whom Isaiah spoke in the 40th chapter of his prophecy, the one who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. Zechariah wanted to believe it. He so wanted to believe it. And it wasn't as if he couldn't believe because he didn't know enough, that it just seemed too unusual. It truly was just the opposite. He heard every word. And because of his scholarship of the Old Testament, he understood every reference. He knew what was happening. It wasn't that it was being spoken at all. It was that it was being spoken to him. He had lived a long life, a real life of pain and loss, of want. The biggest want of his life was children, a son. He and Elizabeth had shared that desire, and yet the Lord had been saying, "Not yet. They just had not realized it. And now? Now? Now the Lord in his older years would bestow this gift upon him, and that child would clearly be special in so many ways. Not just in all that Gabriel said about him, but what his task was to be. More specifically and intentionally prepared than any other prophet for any other purpose. And it would be his responsibility. Gabriel left no doubt. No doubt whatsoever of his authority in speaking these words. He makes sure Zechariah understands, I've come from the presence of the holy, heavenly, eternal Father to speak these words to you. And yet, there is doubt. What a challenge it must have been for this man of God who knew the word so well to take all of the pieces of the prophecies that Gabriel was presenting to him and collect them all together into one completely overwhelming reality. His reaction is so different from that of Mary. But she was so young. She had not seen the ups and downs of a daily life through a long lifetime. That leaves you understanding that with the pain and the brokenness and the sorrow, so often comes the balance of joy and progression through life to almost the point of it all being routine. And now something so extraordinary, so supernatural, so historical in its importance, was wrapping itself around him like the arms of an octopus, choking a stranglehold filled with doubt. Not so much of that it was going to happen, and that God had long promised that it would happen. But that was happening now. And it would be him. And it would be his wife. It would be their household. They would be the ones chosen by God out of all of the families of Israel throughout its long history. And so Gabriel clearly was expecting a response. And there was not enough time to gather everything into a comprehensive, perspective-driven, logical answer. And so before he could stop it, it just tripped over his tongue. His question, how can I be sure of this? Not how can this be, how could this be possible? That was covered in his faith in his eternal God. This was more about him. For I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. He had gotten an A in sophomore biology. He understood these things, and this just did not compute in his mind. On the basis of how much life he had lived and how much reality he had seen, it had all worn him down to the point where he just needed something more. And so Gabriel gave him something more. Gabriel gave him something tangible, something real. Silence. A gift at that moment. But a gift that challenged his doubt. And Gabriel expressed it in so many words. You will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. In essence, he's saying, Zechariah, you will be silent. You will not be able to express your joy as it grows, as you watch the belly of your very old wife grow with child. You won't be able to share any of your thoughts, your perspectives, your hopes, your answers for the questioning until a very special day when it all comes to complete fulfillment. You and I, we know the stranglehold of doubt all too well ourselves, don't we? And it's not so much doubt about the things that God tells us in His Word. It's more about the doubt of the reality of our lives and whether special, extraordinary, supernatural things might actually happen to us. For we understand our sinful nature, our conscience, on a daily basis convinces us that we're not really that special. That this moment in the world's history, where I stand, the things that I do, the words that I speak, the appetites that I answer, they're more ordinary than I wish they were, and I care to admit, and all of that simply reminds me of the reality of my humanness and my sinfulness and my brokenness. And in living the real life, in which the more life we see, the more patterns of life that we experience, the more ordinary days that we see in the rearview mirror, the more likely it is that we react as Zechariah reacted to the promises of God and the plans of God and the proclamation of God that would speak to us a righteousness and a hope and an eternal life that is tangible and real, but just not able to be experienced yet. And so God gives us exactly what He gave Zechariah. A word of promise, a word of explanation. But we have it in so much more a complete nature than Zechariah had it. We have the Gospels. We have the New Testament letters presenting to us the life, the ministry, the obedience, the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the application in those letters of all that it means for us today and every day as we journey to the eternity that God makes available to us there. And so we have God's perfect prescription against our doubt. As He speaks to us things that aren't necessarily hard to understand or comprehend because they have history and they have context and they have meaning because of the time we've spent listening and studying and praying and growing. The doubt comes more in the form of the personal, as it did for Zechariah. That God would do this all for me. That He would include me in this amazing plan and the eternal realities that it presents. That He will give me a new body glorified on the day after the resurrection of all flesh. That He will embrace me and wipe the tears from my eyes and welcome me into a presence of perfection and peace and fulfillment and joy. Me? How is that? And so He gives you a word this Advent, a word of hope, a comprehensive word that proclaims His will and His plan and His promises, and He invites you to spend quiet moments sitting next to Zechariah, examining and reviewing and drinking it all in and growing in your understanding and your reliance upon and your hope and your joy over one of God's most amazing Advent gifts, proof absolute, lock solid, never changing, always certain proof for every doubting soul. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.